honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps, including Spotify, which is the feature presentation, you can say. But yeah, the requirements to get that thing off the ground are a little astronomical, but we'll see, hopefully. So if you do want to download and listen to the show on Spotify, great. If not, there's plenty of other apps you can use. So, yeah. Anyway, it's been a long, long, long time since the last Timberwolves explosion because there wasn't a whole lot of news after the news, you know, after the free agency session and all that. Things definitely quieted down, and that's fine. Obviously, again, you had the Ant extension and all that, which is a great thing. And we have a basketball season upon us coming up. Once again, as things did move quicker than some of us may have thought, summer just evaporated before our eyes like it always does. The 2023-2024 season preview is here. This should be a pretty promising season, to be quite honest. I guess players are going to be more used to Rudy Gobert. He's going to be more used to his teammates. He's also going to be a year older. Am I a huge fan of Rudy Gobert and how things went last year? No. And you could probably hear that on the previous episodes and all that. But hopefully they can get the chemistry together and make the most of a trade that probably is going to put the Wolves on the short end of the straw, the short end of the whatever the heck, whatever it is, the short end of something. It is what it is. He's here for the time being, and we got to make the most of it. Obviously, some nice additions in the offseason, which we appreciated very much. Like Shake Milton, I think, excites me quite a bit. The draft, obviously, we have a general manager that knows how to draft in Tim Conley. Just Rudy Gobert trades. He's probably lost both. That's really annoying when you think about it. Like the very beginning of his career in Denver, he drafts this guy named Rudy Gobert from France in the second round and trades him away. Before he plays a minute for the Denver Nuggets and turns out to be a really, really good player. And all these years later, trades for him and gives up the moon. So, yeah, I've talked about it enough. I apologize. As for the Timberwolves salary situation, we are 11th in the league going into this season. Number one team in the league is the Northern Cal team that I hate. Second place is a team that's always hurt called the Clippers. And the future, a team that acquired a really good player and has a really good chance of winning a championship this year. The Milwaukee Bucks are third. The Milwaukee Bucks, $200 billion. No, $190 million really is their salary. Almost $191. That team that played the Northern Cal, $210. sick of them, but that's how I look at it. Interestingly, the Clippers don't have a single player signed for 26-27. Interesting. But maybe, they have like about 50,000 second-round picks that have been traded about 20 times already coming their way. Remember the bit I talked about last episode? Highest-paid player on the Timberwolves this year, our favorite guy, had $41 million. Rudy, Tutti Frutti Rudy Gobert, $41 million. Karl Anthony Towns, 36. Mike Conley, expiring. And, of course, Karl Anthony Towns' max contract kicks in at $52 million next year. Jumps to 56, to 60, and up to 64, which is a player option. Boy, I just might turn that down. You know, $64 million for one damn season. I just might turn it down. Conley comes up with the books, 24.3. Anthony Edwards, right now, the rookie contract, number one pick, $13+ million, making as much as Connor McDavid in the NBA. Connor McDavid in the NHL is what I'm trying to say. It's just funny. It's a rookie contract. It's just the contrast between the NBA and hockey is kind of sad, honest to God. Naz Reid, yep, we re-upped him. 12 million, basically 13, then 14, and then 15. Kyle Anderson expiring at 9.2. Shake. Milton, 5 million this year and next. And no option either way, so it's nice to have. Nikhil Alexander Walker, still short term with him, 4.7 basically, and then 4.3 next year. Troy Brown, 4 and 4, 2 years. Jaden McDaniels, we're still waiting on the extension. Wendell Moore, so on and so forth. Jordan McLaughlin, 2.3, and blah, bitty, blah, bitty, blah. Leonard Miller, rookie contract. Josh Minot. Josh Minot. And yes, him waiting to play has been Minotness, I'm sure. And I think it's Minotness, him getting ticked off at people for mispronouncing his name, myself included. So just in case, one in a thousand chance, maybe not one in a million, 1 in 10,000 chance, Josh Minot has ever listened to or will listen to Timberwolves Explosion. I apologize right here and right now on behalf of Timberwolves Explosion. So all respect to you. Luca Garza, Matt Ryan, we'll see what happens there. Jalen Clark coming back from an Achilles tear, but obviously an exciting basketball player, a tireless defender going forward. And that's the preview. Just kidding. Flashing on the screen are some of the coolest uniforms in the NBA, and it's nobody's third jersey. It's the Atlanta Hawks white jerseys. Just the way the color scheme goes together with the red and yellow, I'll take that any day of the week. And of course, their red uniforms, that basically it's reversed, you know, the reverse, the white with the red. It's so cool. Atlanta Hawks have the best jerseys in the NBA. And thank God the Atlanta Hawks have have resumed this look after all those years of, you know, going with blue and this and that. And the lime green was okay. It's like super duper retro, but it's weird. I'm all over the place and I apologize. I'm optimistic about this Timberwolves team, and it's time they made a move. See, like last year, all of us were like, "Oh, they're definitely going to be the fourth seed. They're going to get to the second round of the of the playoffs, and this and that. Maybe even make a run. Who knows?" And last year's Western Conference was a lot more open than a lot of people expected. I mean, Sacramento, number 4 seed, and that's with a division title. They could have even been higher, but the record wasn't high enough to be like a 2 or 3. So, yeah. I'm very optimistic. I think this team absolutely should take that next step to the second round of the playoffs, so on and so forth. Number 4 seed in the Western Conference. Unfortunately, pretty much every quote-unquote expert out there is thinking otherwise, that the Wolves will remain kind of bubble-ish, you know, 6, 7, 8, you know, that type of thing. I think the Wolves get in the 4th seed. And, yep. And I'm going to fess up. I did record my previous, the preview segment first before I recorded the second one, because I wanted things to kind of, you know, just in case there was any crazy news along the way, good news or bad news, leading up to the season here, that I would record the first segment a little later. Unfortunately, I don't think there's a whole lot of fan interaction, but at least it's a pillar of the Timberwolves Explosion community that you'll be hearing from. So no doubt about that. The overall construction of the team, I think, is better than it was. Obviously, D'Angelo Russell is a talented player, but with Mike Conley at the point guard, I just see this team run better. It's just, unfortunately, obviously his age. He's 36 years of age. He's kind of a shell of what he once was. But when you can get the Mike Conley that was before, you know, he starts becoming a sharpshooter again, this and that, and he's able to kind of move around a little better than some other days, it's so much fun to watch. And he still is capable of being a hell of a player. It's just obviously limited to what he used to be. It's limited now at age 36 compared to what Mike Conley used to be. There's a reason why he's making $24 million a year, because he was a hell of a player when he signed that contract. So it's like, it is what it is there. Will he go off into the sunset in the offseason? Hard to say. But having Mike Conley at the point guard position makes you feel like $1 million. So we'll continue with the point guard position right here and now. Shake Milton and Nikhil Alexander-Walker can play the position. I kind of see them more as a shooting guard, but Shake will probably play a bit of both. Jordan McLaughlin is kind of the primary backup, but I don't know. I kind of see Shake Milton. I mean, obviously, he's definitely a better player. It's just that McLaughlin is specifically a point guard. Very disappointing season last year. I thought he was gone. He ends up coming back anyway, so $2.3 million. At least it's a nice paycheck for him. You know, in NBA terms, it's chump change. But for, you know, any human being, $2.3 million is still a hell of a lot of money. Again, he was very disappointing last year, him being Jordan McLaughlin. I wouldn't doubt he was probably named after Michael Jordan, but the first name, because you can't have a Jordan, because the 96 Bulls were dominating NBA basketball when he was born. So coming up with that anecdote, I don't know where it came from, but it just did. His three-point percentage has dropped off every single year he has been in the NBA, which is really annoying. His rookie year, you could tell him being Jordan, I keep saying him being, but yeah, Jordan McLaughlin's rookie year, he shot almost 50% from the floor and 40% from downtown. Okay, 38, but still damn good. The next year, three-point percentage dropped to 36. So it's still pretty respectable. And then this third year, less than 32%, and last year, less than 31. It's like, what the heck is happening? He's just missing shots, and the decision-making wasn't all that great. He doesn't really turn the ball over, though, but it was higher than previous years. His minutes have remained right around, 15 to 19 minutes a game. Last year, he only played half the year, but he also was out for forever, along with a certain guy named Carl Anthony Towns, who never really regained his full form, his midseason form, as we like to call it. But we'll get to Carl later. Jordan McLaughlin, I mean, we'll see. I'm more optimistic about Shake Milton, but again, he's a bigger guy. So he's going to play a bit of shooting guard and small forward, shooting guard and point guard. Slightly younger, just a few months younger than Jordan McLaughlin. Shake, shake, shake. Yeah, I've said that enough now. He was a second-round pick, 24th pick in the second round by the Dallas Mavericks, but has played his entire career with the Philadelphia 76ers, averaging around 20 minutes a game throughout his career. Got to 23 minutes a game a couple years back and averaged 13 points a game. That's outstanding. Three-point percentage, as I try to slow down a little bit, has been all over the place. Came in the league about 32, jumped up to 43 in his second year, 35 in 2021. Obviously, that wasn't the weird year. 1920 was weirder, you could argue. I guess they were both weird because they started late. Anthony Edwards was drafted in November, so that's all you need to know there. Big drop-off the next year, the fourth year, 32.3%. But last year, even though he came out of the rotation, the playoffs, I'm not sure why, 38% from downtown, 8.4 a game, 76 games at 20 minutes a game. Yeah, also averaged 3 assists. So obviously, again, a playmaker, capable type of guy who can shoot the basketball. Really like what Shake Milton does bring. Probably more of an offensive player than a defensive player. But I've been wrong before. McLaughlin is capable of being a good defensive player and a pain in the butt. But last year was just an overall nasty year. But those are probably your primary point guards. I got to think Nickeil Alexander-Walker can certainly play the position. They even have had Anthony Edwards bring the ball up a few times. Obviously when there was like 9 people out and this and that, it was kind of ridiculous. So there it is. Conley, McLaughlin, Milton, Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Milton and Alexander-Walker are interchangeable shooting guard type guys. So on, so forth, blah, blah, blah. The shooting guard position is, well, there you go. The best player on the team, in my opinion. The franchise guy, Anthony Edwards, who looks absolutely spectacular. Made a Jordan-esque type of a fadeaway type of move in the preseason. And it's just, you can see kind of more and more coming to his game. He's going to keep getting better and better and better. Last year averaged almost 25 points a game. Obviously, Carl Anthony Towns was out, but it seemed like Anthony Edwards didn't lose anything. Like last year with the Minnesota Wild, Kirill Kaprizov was injured. And then Matt Boldy went from a guy who had like 10 goals to 30 in like a month. It was insane. He had like 20 goals in March, right? Kirill Kaprizov comes back, and Matt Boldy just stops scoring again. It was ridiculous. As talented as Boldy is, he's a young guy, but it's like that's the whole thing. A young guy who could potentially be your second, third best player on the team, even your best player, blah, 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 in Anthony Edwards' case. But then when the other star comes back, it's like everything kind of drops off, and it's like, oh, okay, I'll go back in the corner now. And it's like, what the hell? Where you didn't notice that at all with Anthony Edwards at all. So he just kept getting better and better. And he's an alpha personality, but the good kind of alpha. He's not the shut up, get out of my way, bleep you, that some people can be out there. Like a certain guy that plays for Miami who's starting to get weirder and weirder by the minute. And I have no further comment on, I just leave it where it is. I have no further comment as to what the heck he is doing. I have no idea. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, I don't know, some of the images that came out like a few weeks back, I just don't understand. Sorry, I don't. Now that I've lied about saying I have no further comment. Anthony Edwards consistently getting better and better. Field goal percentage climbing upward, unlike McLaughlin, unfortunately. Both field goal percentage and three-point percentage from 41.7 to 44.1, and last year 45.9, 3-point percentage, 32.9. It's like it felt like he was jacking up and missing. 35.7 in year number two, 36.9. Obviously, everything is subject to change, and you know, every right to improve and keep getting better and better. Because Anthony Edwards, obviously, sometimes it's just not his night, and he's jacking up threes, and it's frustrating. You know, he'll take that, he wants to take the shot that'll put the wind out of the sails of the other team, and the ball's bouncing back because it hit the back of the rim real hard, and that's a bummer. Sometimes it's a rally killer. Sometimes it's just a bad night, but he's going to keep getting better and better, and that move, where he kind of posted up a bit on the wing and did a fadeaway, just the way he timed his moves, the release of the shot, the motion, you know, everything. It's just, it was Jordan-esque. It was, you know, it's like it's one play, but you can see growth. You can see development. He's going to keep getting better, and I think he will get MVP votes this season. So there's a hot take, and it ain't going to be the last time he's going to get MVP votes, let me tell you. He just might win league MVP one of these years. Obviously, Anthony Edwards, I haven't even talked about it because it's kind of weird. He will not be wearing number one anymore. He will be wearing number five. Anthony Edwards will be wearing number five. I don't know if it's, I'm not sure what's going on. I guess that's the number he's always wanted, so to speak. With the fifth pick in the NBA draft, the Boston Celtics take Kevin Garnett. Oh, God, that still sticks on my mind, let me tell you. Oh, Timberwolves fans, he said it. He did. Before he played a single game with the Celtics, Kevin Garnett said that. That's all you need to know. That made me mad. But at least he's starting to come around slowly but surely. Anthony Edwards, to me, I see his future, my crystal ball, so to speak, even though I don't believe in that stuff. It's real, but it's real, but I don't like it. Put it that way. Anthony Edwards is going to be the best player in Timberwolves history. Eventually. Not today, not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life. And for the rest of your life. He is looking at you, Anthony. Yeah. So, really looking forward to what's going to happen. I think he has that one extra component that other players on this team didn't have. I just think it's there. That ultimate go-to guy who can back it up. The ultimate go-to guy, which Garnett was not. He was not a go-to guy. You want to argue with me? Go ahead. He wasn't a go-to guy. Sometimes he was, but not on a normal basis, not on a regular basis. Game 7 against the Sacramento Kings, all the credit in the world. That was a Kirby Puckett-like performance, so to speak. But then he followed up with against a much tougher team with the Lakers. Just wasn't as good. Sorry. He just wasn't. Bottom line, wasn't. Especially right after he got the MVP trophy. That was disappointing. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, also known as Naw, N-A-W, a really nice defender, long, lengthy guy, 6'5", 200, from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. He was a first-round pick, 17th overall by the Brooklyn Nets in 2019. He was also projected to come to the Timberwolves that season, but the Wolves, obviously, that was where the Wolves had different plans that year, making trades and such in that draft. And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, he's not a good player anyway. It's a good thing Wolves didn't wind up with him. Da, 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 da. Yeah, I'm glad we did wind up with him. I'm glad we didn't spend a first-round pick necessarily, but I'm glad we have Nickeil Alexander-Walker. What a nice player. What a nice player. I didn't realize what a good defender he was. And I don't know. He just has a nice overall game. The shooting percentage for his career is under 40, which is crazy. But last year, it definitely jumped up, especially with the Jazz. With the Wolves, it dropped back off to 38.5. But with the Jazz, he was about 50% last year. That's awesome. Unfortunately, just been kind of in and out of lineups, though, of course, kind of fighting to get in the rotation. But I think with Minnesota, Mr. NAW is going to have, I think he's going to have a nice career here, and I'm glad the Wolves are keeping him around. 36% from the floor with the Wolves, 40% with Utah. So kind of a little bit of a loss there for Utah, giving up a pretty nice player who played really well for them last year. But they're obviously going in a different direction, and, well, good for them. You know, they got rid of a very large salary and got a very nice young center. We'll leave that where it is. We will. But really like what Nickeil Alexander-Walker can do, and he's a capable playmaker. Would I want him starting at point guard? No. But obviously there's something there. Shake Milton, obviously they're going to be fighting for minutes a bit. Shake Milton is going to be like the eighth or ninth guy in the rotation, but he's certainly going to be a factor and going to be a heck of a player. I already talked about Shake Milton, of course, but he'll be playing a bit of shooting guard, a bit of point guard. And then you have guys like Wendell Moore Jr. It's like, poor guy. He can play point guard. He can play shooting guard. He's going to really have to earn his minutes. And obviously he's a very, very capable defender. His shooting was not good in college until his senior year, and then it jumped up. Last year in the NBA, shooting percentage just under 42, but from three-point range, 12%. So, I don't know. It's a work in progress, unfortunately. Wendell Moore, I keep getting him mixed up with Wendell Carter Jr. It's driving me nuts. Wendell Moore Jr., though, very sparing minutes, would get in like at the end of games and stuff. And occasionally he would come in like the second quarter, which was really kind of cool, be it for because of injuries or whatever. But a capable shooting guard, I think. I like what he can do. I think there's something there. It's just, you know, unfortunately, he's going to really have to fight for minutes. Maybe he'll win. We'll see. Maybe Wendell Moore will win. He was a first-round pick by a general manager that knows talent. I mean, think about the Walker Kessler, I said his name, Walker Kessler Jr. pick. That would have been a great draft pick until it was traded to Utah. But it's a great draft pick. The guy knows talent. And I don't think he would take Wendell Moore Jr. where he did if he didn't believe him being Tim Connelly. If he didn't believe Wendell Moore Jr. could have a future in the National Basketball Association. Definitely an awesome defender. Just obviously an offensive game that it took a while to develop in college, but it did. And it has not translated to the NBA just yet. Small forward, could he be the Scottie Pippen of the Timberwolves of the future? But he certainly has Pippen-like tendencies. Jaden McDaniels, obviously still waiting his big, big payday. Talk is his salary could reach the $30 million range.
Here we go. God.
Oh, what? Come on!
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, is that all? It's just $30 million. I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about it. Seriously? Like, what the hell? Is he good? Yes. $30 million? Oh, boy. Ooh. Lord. Lord have mercy. Seriously. Jaden McDaniels' defense is all NBA. I think he's a top, you know, he's at least, he is an all NBA defensive player. Obviously, he's got the length, the positioning, the timing, all of that good stuff, the hands, the quickness, you know, squaring up, all that, you know, getting the feet in the right place, hands in the right place. And he can shoot almost 40% from downtown last year, 52% from the floor, basically, rounding up. 12 points a game. It took, you know, he had kind of a slow start. I remember, it seems like he's a slow starter. Like, his first few games, it's like slow starter, but it's like, you could just see the potential. It was oozing. He definitely had a slow start to sophomore year in the NBA. But then kept getting better. And then last year, you could really see something. The junior year, you could call it. And then he got stupid and broke his hand. And that sucked. I mean, we need you, man. We need you. We could have really used his help. Odds are we wouldn't have beaten the Denver Nuggets anyway because they were holding the Larry O'Brien trophy at the end. But still, what a valuable, valuable player that we lost going into the playoffs. It was devastating. Just like the Minnesota Wild lost Jewel Eriksson-Ek, a extremely valuable center who was probably the best defender on the team. And a guy who was like 70 points. In hockey, 70 points is pretty good. But it's just, that's kind of my comparison between the two things. And it's ironic how Jewel Eriksson-Ek broke his ankle right before the playoffs. Jaden McDaniels breaks his hand right before the playoffs. Naz Reid breaks his hand right before the... Oh, my God. It's just the most rotten luck ever. Again, would we have beaten the Nuggets? I doubt it. Would the Wild have beaten the Dallas Stars? Maybe. Probably not, but maybe. Just because they stink in the playoffs, damn it. The Wild. Check out Brave the Wild. The season preview is already out because hockey starts a little earlier. Brave the Wild. But back to Jaden McDaniels or Joel Eriksson-Ek or Jewel Eriksson-Ek, whatever you want to call him. You want him on this team his whole career. He's that kind of guy. He's going to be a household name in the NBA if he isn't yet. He isn't for NBA fans. For Minnesota Timberwolves fans, I'd say he's a household name, absolutely. For Minnesota sports fans, he's getting there. NBA, though, I think he's going to be a household name for NBA fans, like Jaden McDaniels, one of those. He's that guy. He's that really good player on the Minnesota Timberwolves that can defend better than anybody, and he's an ever-capable scorer as well. He's not going to dominate, but he's going to have some nice games. Jaden McDaniels, he uses his length coming out of Federal Way, Washington. Obviously has a temper. That was the conversation coming in the draft, and supposedly that's why he dropped off a bit. But then, a phenomenal draft pick by a certain former general manager after taking Anthony Edwards. It's just unbelievable that those two guys were taken in the same draft. And when you consider how far apart they were in the draft, it's just funny. The Timberwolves took Wayne Ellington with the 28th pick. Valuable guy, but very limited. He could shoot a little bit. He's a decent shooter, but he couldn't do really anything else. And that's usually what you get in the late first round if the player ends up, being a contributing in the NBA. They're more of a specialist. But 28th pick, you might have a guy who's like your Scottie Pippen. You're not counting on him to hit the big shot at the end of the game or blah, 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 or, score. It's not just the big shot. Like, whoever shoots the ball, you hope they make it, that kind of thing. You don't want to force a play to a player, and oftentimes it doesn't work out well, which is annoying. But getting he's not the guy who's going to score 10 straight points in the fourth quarter during a crucial run to take your team to round two or whatever the heck it is, or just, knock down the first place Phoenix Suns or whatever the heck, that type of thing. He might not be that guy, but he's pretty close, and obviously his overall value brings him up in a big way. Kyle Anderson can play small forward, point forward. Anthony Edwards can play that position. Wendell Moore. We're going to see Josh Minot probably get some minutes, but unfortunately, it's like, again, guys like Josh Minot and Wendell Moore Jr., their odds of getting minutes are tough. Minot can certainly play power forward. They're listing him as more of a small forward, but he can play both. Obviously, Kyle Anderson's considered more of a power forward. Jaden McDaniels can play there as well. You have Troy Brown Jr., the most recent acquisition, well, one of them anyway. Pretty valuable guy. July 28th, one day before me, but 20 years after. So basically 19 years, 360 whatever, 364 days after me. Yeah, lucky guy. I turned 20 years old the next day. Lucky me, right? Where was he? He was a first-round pick. Yep, 15th overall pick by the Washington Wizards in 2018, coming in out of Las Vegas, Nevada. He's traveled a bit. Washington Wizards, 10 points a game in his second year. Three-point percentage around 35 is decent. Three field goal percentage, 43. Though it did jump up a little bit with the Bulls in a short stint back and forth with Washington and Chicago. Played with the Los Angeles Lakers last year. Vince Germano likes him a lot. Nice defender. Lanky, that kind of thing. Lanky guy, 6'7", but long. Small forward, mostly. Obviously, he's not tall enough to be a power forward, but he can play the position. That kind of thing, because the different lineups. He's not tall and bulky enough to be, a full-time power forward. So he plays a bit of both, but definitely a valuable piece. And happy to have Troy Brown Jr. in the fold. He'll be in the rotation. Some people say he's like actually the 10th guy, so we'll see. Kyle Anderson, he can play small forward, this and that. But Josh Minot is a guy that's going to get minutes here, and he's going to have to fight with Troy Brown to get minutes. Josh Minot, he can play power forward, he can play small, he's a bit of both, significantly younger. Right around Thanksgiving in 2002, he was born from Boca Raton, Florida. Second round, 15th pick in the second round, basically, by the Wolves in 2022. Josh Minot only got in 15 games last year, 6 minutes, but was outstanding for Iowa. Definitely tons of potential, shot blocking, all that. Uses his length, and has a name that should be easier to pronounce, and it's my fault. I apologize for mispronouncing it. I'll say that again. But there's definitely something there with Josh Minot. I think, I think he could be a valuable piece for this team for many years to come, and hopefully he gets his chance this year. But obviously he's going to have to battle for minutes, and if he wins, he wins. May the best man win, that kind of thing. He's not going to start over Jaden McDaniels or anything, but it's going to be with like Troy Brown Jr., even Kyle Anderson and this and that. I hope, I'm definitely rooting for Josh Minot. no doubt about it, because there is something there. Power forward is Carl Anthony Towns, of course. Big surprise there. Who's that guy? Yeah, obviously a lost season last year. Was promising early in the year, and then he had that almost Achilles tear, calf injury, that type of thing. There was all kinds of precautions, this and that. People often complain about his defense and this and that. Looked a little better defensively at the power forward position than at center over the years. Definitely blocks more shots as a power forward, but last year there wasn't a whole lot of that going on. It was, again, a lost season. Only 29 total games. Never really got his full timing back. Was never in mid-season form, as I said earlier. But he seems a bit quieter now. Something I probably need to be as well. Sometimes you get outspoken or you say stuff that ends up kind of coming back on you one way or another. Like you make big statements. And sometimes those big statements are tiring, especially when it's like, okay, man, because you keep doing it. And I don't know. It's not the kind of statement that's necessary. It's definitely not offensive, but maybe just like it's not necessary, that kind of thing. Like it's this big statement. Oh, boy, we're going to, you know, like this and that. Almost like looking for attention, that kind of thing. You know, like, oh, it's all my fault, when you don't necessarily mean it. You're just kind of saying it to sound like a hero or whatever. And it's like that kind of stuff probably got old. So it looks like he's kind of coming into the year a little quieter. But it's nice, you know, to have a clean slate, start over, and go out there and earn your money, basically, because he's getting paid a hell of a lot. It's not just about the money, obviously, but it kind of is. At the same time, we need him. We need Carl Anthony Towns to go out there and play like the Carl Anthony Towns that he's ever capable of being. Because if you have a, you know, Carl Anthony Towns at the top of his game, Anthony Edwards at the top of his game, Rudy Gobert, you know, better than he was last year. Let's just leave it at that. You might have something very special here with the Timberwolves, especially with some of these other nice pieces, including even a veteran like Mike Conley, kind of stabilizing things rather than jacking up stupid shots and costing you the game and playing awful defense like the guy in L.A. That guy. But Carl Anthony Towns, obviously, ever capable of being a shot blocker. Obviously, you like his post game, which I do very much. It's okay to shoot the three-point shot. It's a very valuable thing. I just don't want him parking out there at the three-point line like he's a shooting guard. It's not your game, damn it. So stop. It's okay to take three-point shots, but like 8-9 a game, I don't know about that. How about four or five, like momentum plays, this and that, like, oh, here it is. Here's a golden opportunity. Yeah, there we go. You know, those momentum plays, that type of thing. You know, like you're feeling it, you know, the team is feeling it. You're up and down the court, quick pass over, catch and shoot, boom. Like that's the kind of game I like. And you know what? It's higher percentage. Rather than just kind of parking out there, okay, I'm going to shoot it again. And I don't know, kind of like you're just like hanging out at the gym and just throwing up shots. It's just, nah, man. That's what gets frustrating. Obviously, you're playing the game, you're getting paid, it's serious, isn't that? But at the same time, it's just, don't get too comfortable at the three-point line. That's my number one complaint, to be quite honest. And I think a lot of that other part of the game will come. Carl Anthony Towns will continue to be a valuable piece. Can he get better overall? Well, he's going to turn 28 already, isn't he? Holy schmucks. He's going to turn 28 years of age. So I'm not so sure. I can't believe that. Carl Anthony Towns is going to be 28, isn't he? I just can't believe it. But he was drafted in 2015. That's getting to be a while back. And I have to think that Flip died right before Carl started playing. That was really sad. Really sad. But I don't want to get too, I don't want to bring things down too much right now, even though I remember and love and appreciate Flip Saunders forever. But that's the thing. You know, you don't want him just hanging out too much at the three-point line. Play down low a bit. It's okay to drive to the rim. Obviously, that's a huge thing. You know, be careful about the offensive fouls, the complaining and this and that. So, obviously, again, Carl basically just needs to kind of calm down a bit, but focus. Play more of a mean game without being too crazy, that type of thing. Far be it for me to say that, but at the same time, you know, that's what needs to happen. Just it's time to take that next step of maturity. And Karl Anthony Towns could be an all-NBA player. If it's third team, that still counts. Because I'm not counting on him being first team all-NBA. That might be Anthony Edwards territory someday. But we'll see. Kyle Anderson, one of the most valuable guys on the team. Obviously, he's one of those glue guys. Other than when he's pure pissed off and wanting to kill Rudy Gobert after Rudy Gobert took a shot at him. Don't blame the anger and the frustration. But at the same time, be careful. An awesome playmaker. And you know what? He reminds me of Sam Mitchell in so many ways because of that, including the temper on occasion. Because Sam Mitchell wanted to kill Kevin Willis after Kevin Willis kept elbowing him in the face in the playoff game many years ago when the Wolves were, getting beat badly by the Houston Rockets. It was like Kevin Willis just wouldn't stop taking pot shots at whatever the heck you call it, just throwing his elbow into Sam Mitchell's head, which is ridiculous. It's like unacceptable. And then Mitchell lost it and wanted to kill him, basically. And I could see this guy here, Kyle Anderson, being the same way. He definitely has a temper. You could even see it in his face in his profile picture. It's just, you could see it. You wouldn't want to cross him. You just wouldn't. You wouldn't want to piss him off. That kind of guy. I don't know if it's New York, New Jersey, whatever the heck. Interesting guy, no doubt. 30th pick by the Spurs many years ago now, 2014. Is he 30? Yeah, he's 30 now, September 20th. Doggone it. But obviously, he reminds me of Sam Mitchell for so many reasons. The high IQ, he can lead the team in so many ways on the floor, off the floor, in the locker room. He can shoot 51% for the Wolves last year. Incredible. 41% from downtown, which is three-point range, in case you're like, why does he keep saying downtown? He can rebound. His defense is outstanding most of the time anyway, and it is. Five assists a game, or just under five assists. Valuable, valuable guy. Again, you just hope he doesn't get too pissed off and lose his mind on occasion, but that's the only thing. That even a veteran and a leader like Kyle Anderson sometimes needs to cool it a little bit. But obviously such a viable guy. Naz Reid, Naz Reid's going to play center and power forward. Very, 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 very happy to have him in the fold. It's interesting to think that they used to talk about him having a temper, and I don't really see it. I don't know. And he looks a lot like a young Lieutenant Worf. Star Trek The Next Generation, like 87, 88-ish, when Worf was, when they were all younger people. Michael Dorn is the actor. Looks like Worf. He really does. Yeah, the long hair, too. Like longer hair, kind of, but not too long. He looks a lot like Worf. I see Kalis. Yep. All he needs is that, that putty or whatever they put on the forehead, to with the Klingon, brow or whatever it is. The Klingon forehead. That's all that's missing. Oh. Yep. Well, basically, he looks like Michael Dorn, I guess you could say, a little bit. But regardless, what a valuable piece. And what a way to handle a situation when he could have been buried last year. Naz Reid could have been buried. You get, you already have Karl Anthony Towns. Now he has to move to, now he's moving to power forward position because we're going with the Twin Towers with Rudy Gobert. And whether you like it or not, Rudy Gobert's here. And this and that, and you got this huge contract with both Carl and Rudy. You're tying up a $90 to $100 million with two players. Yikes. Naz Reid, it's like, I hope he gets a chance. And you'd think he would anyway. He could back up both guys. So, and that's how we approached it. Like, I'm going to play, and I'm going to kick ass when I do. But I'm also not going to play desperate. Like, I'm going to, make dumb mistakes and hurt the team. I'm not going to get selfish like, say, a William Avery who'd come in and just go, he would just go bananas out there. He'd go willy-nilly. I got the ball! I got the ball! And then just, jack up anything. That's what it was like with William Avery. He'd finally get to play. Poor guy. I did feel for him, but he just went nuts, and it didn't help him. Where Naz Reid played his game and clearly showed improvement from previous seasons. He can shoot the three. He can play down low. He can play defense. And he's so efficient, is Naz Reid. Very, very happy to have a guy like that. And, of course, he can play power forward and small forward, which, it's, to me, is common sense. And you can play with either guy. Okay, Carl's down, but Rudy's in. And I can, you can put him with both players. And, obviously, with injuries that do happen, unfortunately, And God forbid any stupid load management, though Chris Finch, thank God, says I'm not a fan. And he better not be. I hate that crap. Naz Reid's going to be a factor one way or another. 53.7%, very efficient, and he even shot about 35 from downtown. The rebounding could be better, but sometimes it is. Like there were games where he had Garnett-like numbers, Naz Reid. He had Garnett-like numbers at times, and it was beautiful to watch. You know, like 10 rebounds, 22 points, even blocked a shot or so here and there. He's not the best defender in the world, but a capable defender. It's not like he's garbage. So definitely not known for the defense. That's not his top attribute. Definitely an offensive player who could go out for 30. You know, getting to the basket and putting the ball in. Quite simply putting the ball in the basket and looking good doing it. Naz Reid's value is incredible, and he's a good guy too. So Luka Garza's the other guy that might see some minutes at power forward and center, this and that. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Obviously, we're going to wrap up with Rudy Gobert here in a second. But yeah, Luka Garza is an outstanding minor league player, but even had a couple of really good NBA games. He had a 25-point game against Utah last year in just 23 minutes. Of course, I believe everybody was out in that game, but it was an absolute blowout by the Wolves for some reason. Was everybody out? Yeah, Naz Reid started at center. Josh Minot, 12 minutes. Yeah, 12 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks. Yeah, see? So you give him minutes, he's going to do something. And Garza, of course, can go off as well. But getting off of that. And onto Rudy Gobert, who, of course, is a massive X factor going into the year. Carl can play center as well. Like, say you move Reid to power forward and whatever, or just Reid center and Carl stays at power forward. Interchangeable, it doesn't really matter all that much. It kind of depends on the matchup in the situation, of course. So Rudy Gobert is the top rebounder on the team. He is known as the main defender and all that. He is now 31 as of June 26th. 27th pick in the first round. I thought he was second, but it was a late first round pick for Rudy Gobert and Tim Connelly in 2013, who again traded him to Denver. Drafted by Denver, traded him to Utah that summer before he played a single game with the Denver Nuggets. Didn't do a whole lot his first couple years and kept getting better, blah, 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 blah. Became one of the best defenders in the league, one of the better rebounders in the league. He was known as the Stifle Tower, averaging 2.5 blocks a game. Showed some weird immaturity at times, this and that. I'm going to stay off of some of the other topics. We'll leave it at that. But, you know, I don't like to get into COVID conversation. I just don't. You know, it gets too political, obviously. Whereas what Rudy Gobert was supposed to bring was a valuable defender, a great rebounder. And you did get that at times. It's just the chemistry wasn't there, especially with D'Angelo Russell. Obviously, it sounds like D'Angelo Russell was, obviously, I wasn't there. None of us were. Some of you might have been, who knows. But, yeah, there was constant, throwing him under the bus, kind of, you know, and like little, what do they call that, throwing shade. Not even throwing him under the bus, but throwing shade at Rudy Gobert, kind of just little nudge, like, yeah, if certain people did this and certain people did that, kind of like that jerk in school that's always talking bleep about you, you know, that kind of thing. So that didn't help either. Again, the chemistry obviously is a huge thing with Rudy Gobert. It's going to have to happen one way or another, you know, catching the ball on certain plays, this and that. Conley certainly helps, but Conley's not going to be here forever. Rudy Gobert is going to be here a while, whether we like it or not. And we've got to make the most of it, appreciate the rebounding, the defense that is there, no doubt. And sometimes he can go out for 20-plus. Sometimes it's just his night. And he's certainly a powerful guy. And those long arms are ever valuable and can, you know, frustrate people coming down the paint and prevent people from coming down the paint. Unfortunately, you know, in a lot of ways, that's why teams like the Golden State Warriors exist, because of, you know, good defenders in the paint. They just kind of, okay, we're going to beat you with our three-point shot. So that's where perimeter defense comes in. And I'm going down that rabbit hole now. But Rudy Gobert is definitely a huge X factor. If the pressure's on, so to speak, but the point is probably don't put too much pressure on the guy. I think there was a lot of pressure on him last year. The good news is his team got eliminated right away in the what was it called, like World Cup or whatever. So that's a good thing. I'm sure he wasn't happy about it, but well, he got to, you know, he got to rest more in the summer rather than beat himself up and potentially be liable to get hurt, that type of thing. Came into last year, basically he wasn't fresh last year. He was still kind of, he was, you know, already tired, kind of used up a bit. And, you know, and the chemistry just wasn't there, plain and simple. Where this year with a clean slate like Carl Anthony Towns, hopefully the chemistry will be better. And with Carl and Rudy potentially both coming in a lot better than last year, so to speak. Obviously, Carl was fine last year until the injury. But, and then after that ruined the year for him. And then when he came back, he wasn't the same, blah, blah, blah. But both players coming under the clean slate one way or another, this could end up being a 50-plus win season, and I think it should be. I think it absolutely should be. This team needs to win over 50 games this year, and I think they absolutely should. Knock on wood, barring injuries, this and that. But obviously guys get hurt and they miss time, but nothing super serious that ruins the whole year, that type of thing. Especially in the NBA, where injuries seem to be prolonged a bit more than in other sports. That's a fact, no matter how you look at it. That's a fact. But Rudy's value is there. It's possible that he could have an all-star-esque type of season for the Minnesota Timberwolves at age 31. It's quite possible. Obviously, we're counting more on Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns for the offense and this and that, and even Jaden McDaniels. But if the chemistry's there and you get the best out of Rudy Gobert, even if he's averaging 11 points a game, but like 14 rebounds and blocking shots and this and that, it could be an amazing season for the Minnesota Timberwolves that might even go to the Western Conference Final. They just might. And build off of that into something even better someday. Particularly with Anthony Edwards leading the way. With that said, that's a thought we'll go into leading into the preview segment for this season preview. We're going to talk about the NBA, talk about who's going to get to the conference finals and seeding and this and that, and your ultimate NBA championship. With that, we'll take a break and get to that next. We are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number 2. Time to preview the NBA's season. Pick up some, figure out who's going to win the championship, you know, all that good stuff. Get to the conference finals. Maybe some teams that may have some success or be a disappointment for the most part. So, yeah, here we are. Another NBA season upon us. Some more excitement. James Harden still with Philadelphia. Obviously, not long before the show got started, that Damian Lillard is now a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, a very interesting trade, to say the least. Might as well bring up the parameters of that trade right here and right now. As, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks receive one player, and that's all they need. Damian Lillard, of course, from the Blazers. The Trailblazers is a three-team trade. The Trailblazers will receive DeAndre Ayton from the Suns, of course. Tumani Kamara from the Suns. Drew Holiday from the Bucks. A 2029 first-round pick via the Bucks. Two first-round pick swaps with the Bucks in 28 and 30. The Phoenix Suns receive Grayson Allen, Keon Johnson, Nasir Little, and Yusuf Nurkic. A lot of people actually think that Yusuf Nurkic is a pretty nice addition. Nasir Little is decent. Keon Johnson from the Blazers. And Grayson Allen from the Bucks, very generous. No doubt about that. So that's obviously a potential season changing type of a move. Definitely has a lot of people intrigued and excited and all of that, particularly in the city of Milwaukee, I'm sure, where they are a championship contender. Not that they weren't already from the get-go, but now they absolutely are. Ultimately, then, Drew Holiday winds up with the other green team in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics received Drew Holiday. The Portland Trail Blazers received Malcolm Brogdon. Robert Williams, not too bad, actually. 2024 first-round pick via the Warriors, and a 2029 unprotected first-round pick via the Celtics. Interesting. So the Celtics banking on being good in 2029, apparently unprotected. First round pick, you just never know what's going to happen. Portland Trailblazers certainly acquiring a lot of assets at the end of the day out of the whole Damian Lillard trade. I mean, they got quite a bit. So Portland may have come out pretty good. Phoenix just kind of jumping in, but they also got rid of DeAndre Ayton. I guess they just wanted to give up on him, and he's a Portland Trailblazer now. Jrue Holiday winding up with the Boston Celtics. So I apologize if I'm kind of bouncing around here. I wanted to make sure I got all the details correct before I started really yabbering on about Jrue Holiday being a member of the Portland Trailblazers when he wasn't. And I knew it. I just wanted to make damn sure, like, where people went and all of that. Because more happened afterward. There's usually an aftermath after a trade like that. Jimmy Butler going with some weird look that I can't even describe other than, what the hell, man? Seriously. I mean, eventually, there's a fine line between expressing yourself and just being weird. I'm sorry. That was weird. The Jimmy Butler image that we've been seeing. There's a fine line between expressing yourself and being weird. I'm sorry. Call me judgmental. Call me this. Call me mean. Call me whatever. I don't care. You look weird. There's a fine line. Will the Detroit Pistons finally get their heads out of somewhere and get more than 20 wins? I don't know. They only won 17 games last year. Toronto hovered around 500. I expect more of the same this year. Brooklyn, well, they have a nice kind of a nice group of players, but how far will it take them? New York Knicks with Thibodeau. I expect something there. Atlanta Hawks, there's bound to be something decent. They kind of hung around 500. Were very disappointing after making a conference final appearance not too long ago. But it felt like a long, long time ago after that. A weird lineup with DeJounte Murray and Trae Young in the backcourt. Those rarely work. When you have two talented guards in the backcourt, point guard level heights, it just doesn't usually work too well. So it's kind of hard to say what's going to happen with that one. DeAndre Hunter is still a member of the Hawks. They made a trade along the way. I believe I talked about that during the draft as well. So we'll see. Yep, Sadiq Bey, who is a former Detroit Piston, is now a small forward with the Hawks. Pretty actually nice additions. I think the Hawks have a chance to be definitely a part of things. Patty Mills, a veteran addition, coming off the bench, this and that. I think the Hawks will make the postseason. I think the Celtics and Bucks are going to be way at the top. Miami Heat, we'll see. Cleveland should be a factor, maybe top four, top five. The Bulls should make it. I don't know. It's kind of tough to say. Who misses? That's the thing. I don't think the Bulls miss. All right. I'm beginning to think the Bulls probably know. They probably won't make it. You never know. Like, a team like Miami might not make it. That's where Damian Lillard wanted to wind up, and it just simply didn't happen. He wound up with the Bucks. And we almost forgot about the whole trade demands and all that from Damian Lillard from the Blazers. So then it's like, all of a sudden, there it is. Like, at the end of September, it's like, oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Or beginning of October, right before training camp, basically. Damian Lillard's a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. It's good to have him out of the Western Conference, but that's the Milwaukee Bucks, man. You know, so there's definitely something there. Middleton, was it Bobby Portis? Of course, guys like Giannis. I mean, there's just no doubt about the talent there. Giannis and Damian Lillard alone, just those two. But with Chris Middleton in the mix as well, pretty dangerous, pretty formidable franchise that could win the NBA title this year. In fact, don't be surprised if they do. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Boston has to prove something. They have a nice lineup. They have Porzingis now. They have Jrue Holiday to go along with Tatum, who's been fantastic. They still have the veteran Horford, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. It's just, can they be mentally tough enough to finally do something in the Beastern Conference, because I think the Eastern Conference wins the NBA championship this year. Absolutely. I do. I think the Eastern Conference wins the title. I think the West had their little run here the last couple of years with Golden State winning one. Yuck. And the Denver Nuggets out of nowhere winning last year. Obviously a talented team, and everything went right. Guys got healthy and stayed healthy when it mattered. And that's what it's all about. Will the Boston Celtics finally get their heads out of somewhere, you can probably guess where, and actually get past the Bucks and go all the way? Or will the Bucks take care of business and go all the way? But I think it's going to be a mean green Eastern Conference. It's going to be a green team. Like, you can guess that without a doubt. The Hawks do take a step forward. I think they make it. I'm having a hell of a time figuring out who's out, though, other than, I guess, the Brooklyn Nets, who won 45 games last year. I think Cleveland makes the playoffs. Miami should. I'd like to see Atlanta take over the Southeast. Let's say yes. Jimmy Butler, that weird hairdo alone, shows that it's more about you than about the team. Like, again, expressing yourself and just being weird and just looking for attention. I think it's lame and stupid. So the Atlanta Hawks will win the Southeast. I know people are like, sure, Joey. Yeah, they will. They will. Just you wait and see. So the Hawks make it. I say the Heat missed the playoffs. Yeah, the Miami Heat go from a team that was a factor to missing the playoffs. I think Brooklyn is actually going to be better. And the Heat actually did have a very weak record. Heck, they finished with the 8th seed, despite the fact they won the Southeast. They went to the finals last year, an amazing run. Not going to happen this year. The Heat are out. Everyone else actually returns. But I think the Bucks and the Celtics are at the top. Give and take. The Bucks did have the best record. I don't expect them to choke in the first round again, to be at the Hawks or the Brooklyn Nets or whoever. I don't see that happening. But it is going to be most of the same teams except Miami versus Atlanta. That's about it. I don't see Chicago making it. I don't see Indy making it. Sure as hell don't see Detroit. Toronto should be a factor. Blah, bitty, blah, bitty, blah. Washington, maybe. They actually were better than a lot of people expected last year. But, yes, and of course you had your cute, obviously it's not the same. You have your play-in thing with the 10, the 9 and 10. So the Bulls will probably be there. The Bulls, teams like the Bulls, Toronto, maybe even the Miami Heat will be in that. Pacers might be hanging around. That's the story there, in my opinion. Sometimes I forget about that whole 10 team deal where you have that play-in tournament, so to speak. It's kind of like the NCAA tournament in a way. But yeah, that's where the Bulls would factor in, like a 9th or 10th type of team with the Miami Heat. That's going to be my guess. The Miami Heat will be trying, but they're not going to make it beyond the bubble. They're going to be knocked out, which is what you could call it, the bubble. Eastern Conference Finals is going to be the Bucks and the Boston Celtics. The Bucks and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics will make a playoff run, and the Milwaukee Bucks will make a playoff run. They will not choke in the first round this time. And the... we're going to see Damian Lillard in the NBA Finals. The Milwaukee Bucks will win the Eastern Conference, which you can kind of guess what's going to happen there. Let's go to the West very briefly here. Well, not briefly, but we'll go to the West. Sacramento won the division last year. And you know what? Who's stopping them from doing the same? The Phoenix Suns don't have the same roster. But then again, maybe it doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing. Chris Paul was back to not staying healthy again. Their point guard is... the Bradley Beal addition could be a really nice addition now. He could be a huge factor with Devin Booker. Could be a really nice backcourt. And you had the gritty Grayson Allen to join the fray and all that. Saben Lee is an interesting name, I suppose. Damian Lee, Josh Okogie. You kind of have a mess of players at the small forward position with Okogie, Kater-based job. Even Eric Golden, who's still a factor. Hard to believe, man. He's ancient. Yasser Little, I got to think. He's going to get the small forward position. This thing is a huge mess, what I'm looking at right now. Other than, of course, there's one guy that might actually win the starting forward position. That would be Kevin Durant. As I like to look at this lineup and make jokes here, talking about Nasir Little versus Kevin Durant or Josh Okogie. No, obviously, you still have Kevin Durant. So it is a star-studded lineup and all that. But Kevin Durant will play the power forward position much more than the small. But, you could see Nasir Little, Josh Okogie kind of being a factor at the small forward position. Kevin Durant will play power, of course. Yusuf Nurkic can be a wonderful playmaker, so to speak. Drew Eubanks, Bol Bol, big, tall Bol Bol at the center position. Even Durant gets minutes there once in a blue moon. It's funny to imagine Josh Okogie ever touching the power forward position with his lack of height and the fact that he did sometimes with the Wolves and our tiny lineups. Jeez, it's definitely a deep team, like deeper than you think. Some stars are gone and some stars are still there. Again, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. That's a nice trio, Nurkic. So I think the Phoenix Suns are going to probably win the division, I think. DeAndre Ayton, just a huge disappointment, unfortunately. The first round pick they ever had, the Phoenix Suns, first overall pick, and he was kind of disappointing. Where the Wolves, believe it or not, have had two. Where we actually won the lottery twice. Hard to believe, considering our lottery luck was so terrible for so long. Then we get Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. And no, not trading for Andrew Wiggins does not count. Phoenix Suns are a team that's always going to be a factor to possibly win the Western Conference. But unfortunately, I do think Phoenix Suns fans who've been, long-suffering are going to, unfortunately, wait yet another year. Denver Nuggets should be a huge factor. Sacramento is going to stay good. They should have won 50 games last year, but they lost their last three games, which is disappointing. It's a wonderful, wonderful team. Sacramento Kings, they're really fun to watch. unfortunately, there's not huge star power there, but there's some. You know, Kevin Herter is a factor. Obviously, Harrison Barnes has really hung on and been a nice, has become a nice player. Domantas Sabonis has been absolutely great. Obviously, playmaker. He can hit shots, and he's power forward center. He can play down low as well. And De'Aaron Fox, obviously, has some wonderful moments, but will he wind up getting traded at some point in the season as well? Really, like, kind of like get his kind of complain his way out of Sacramento? I hope not, because I like the Kings. I'd like to see them make a Western Conference run. I think that'd be great. It's unfortunate how they didn't get as far as a lot of us would have liked to have seen last year. Despite winning the Pacific, they wound up with the fifth seed in the West. So that's just kind of how it goes. At least there's a more honest approach. Your number one seed only had 53 wins last year, yet we're the one team that everybody kind of was like, ah, they're not doing anything. They're the weakest one seed ever. They end up winning the championship. And that was, of course, the Denver Nuggets. Everybody knows. Memphis Grizzlies, it's hard to say what's going to happen when you have a maniac as your franchise player. I said it. Yeah, he's a maniac. An egomaniac and just a general maniac. Bane is a tough son of a gun. Obviously, he can drive people crazy. Derrick Rose, veteran addition, definitely help. Jaren Jackson is awesome when healthy. Steven Adams, also awesome when healthy. Big, powerful guy at the center position who can drive people nuts. One of the few, as they call them, Kiwis from New Zealand. That's, of course, where Tanae and Levi Wilson-Brown hail from. Love those guys so much. In Australia, they call them Kiwis. I'm not sure how much they like being called that, but I didn't sense any offense taken necessarily from Tanae and Levi when Vince Tributo would make that statement. They call them Kiwis. It's just a fun thing, I suppose. John Morant, obviously, I'm not sure what to say about him. I think he's nuts, but at least they have Marcus Smart, who was the Celtics' starting point guard for a considerable amount of time, a powerful, powerful guy. And John Morant, I don't know, might be locked in a nut house by the end of the... Might end up in a nut house by the time his career is over in like 2 or 3 years, sadly, when you consider what type of a track he was on just a couple of years ago. But he just started to get... First of all, he was always super cocky, and then he got nuts. He just got insane and all of that. So God bless him. Hope the best for John Morant. Clippers are always a threat because of the likes of Mr., you know... If he can stay healthy again, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Mr. If he can stay healthy, Paul George. It's one of those crazy teams that's always been, you know, it seems like they've always been cursed with, like, you know, teams that just, they have a strong regular season. There's high hopes coming in. They have these glitzy players and all that, and then nothing happens because of injuries, especially come postseason. Zubac is obviously a guy who plugs the middle. Nicholas Batum, I have no idea how he's even in the league anymore. I'm just kidding. That's an exaggeration, but he's overrated. He's overpaid. He's not anything I would want on my team, but I guess it's not my team anyway. Paul George, obviously, when healthy, is an absolute stud, but he's so up and down with the health. Kawhi Leonard could be the best player in the league when he's healthy, but I don't know. Maybe again, it does look like he may have lost his fastball a bit, as they say. Russell Westbrook has definitely lost his fastball, though occasionally he can still come out and have great games. He made the Lakers worse when he was there. With the Clippers, at first they were worse, and then they got better. They became more of a threat and were kind of a bubble type of team. Wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers were in the bubble at the very least, and could be kind of a threat. Minnesota Timberwolves, as we expect, I think the Timberwolves finally make the playoffs and skip the bubble this year. At least the sixth seed, maybe the fifth, this and that, da-da-da-da-da. The Timberwolves should be a factor, obviously. That's, of course, the first segment, my conversation about our Minnesota Timberwolves. That's where things matter the most, our club, doggone it. Golden State Warriors, are they going to finally drop off and go away? Does the addition of Chris Paul make them a threat? I don't know, whatever. You know, like, whatever. Luckily, we don't have to cry in our soup about the major addition they had, so to speak, from us. Jonathan Kuminga is a piece, but he doesn't appear to be somebody that's going to make the Timberwolves feel like idiots for the trade with D'Angelo Russell and all of that. So, luckily, we don't feel as bad. It's crazy to think that was the D'Angelo Russell to the Timberwolves trade when you talk about Jonathan Kuminga, because it was a future pick and all that. It's scary to think of what could have happened. Dario Saric, former Timberwolves, is also on the Golden State Warriors. Rudy Gay, 90-year-old Rudy Gay, is on the Golden State Warriors. Wow, Rudy Gay. We're talking going back to the Randy Foy era. Corey Joseph, Gary Payton II, of course. Gary Payton Sr., is from Oakland. So there you go. Oakland, San Francisco, you get the idea. But Oakland, at the end of the day, that he who shall not be named, Mr. I'm all that, and blah, 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 and I'm the best shooter ever. Yeah, we know. Whatever. I'm sick of him. Draymond Green is Draymond white hair now. Draymond salt and pepper. He's definitely aged quite a bit, but still can, you know, be a huge factor at times. Klay Thompson definitely isn't the same player he was before the multiple injuries, but obviously was good enough just a couple of years ago to help the Golden State Warriors beat a choking Celtics team in the NBA Finals. I'm just full of big takes today, aren't I? A choking Celtics. No, well, they were. They did choke. You saw it if you watched it. Yeah, I don't know. The Western Conference Finals. Boy, does Denver go back to the West Finals? I think so. I mean, why not? They have the best player in the world. And Jamal Murray is about as good of a Scottie Pippen as you can get. He's a guy who can go up for 25 any night. He's that good. Houston should improve. The Wolves will be a factor. The Minnesota Timberwolves will advance to the second round of the playoffs, I believe. Might even be a fourth or a fourth seed, get to the second round. But at the end of the day, they don't make the West Finals, unfortunately. But we do take a step forward and get to the second round. The Lakers should make the postseason this year, I think. It's, you know, no guarantee. The Lakers should make it. I think the Clippers would be more of a bubble where the Lakers actually like are just kind of in, or they earn their way through the bubble one way or another. Golden State's going to be kind of hanging around the mid-40s, I think. I don't think they dominate. To me, the best team in the West is the team that should be the best team in the West if they stay healthy like everybody else in the NBA. And they, you know, they don't need to take 19 games off, you know, for a hangnail, and that would be the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns should win the Phoenix Suns should not only get to the conference final, but actually win the Western Conference. Maybe Denver does, but I think Kevin Durant returns to the NBA Finals and loses to the Bucks. Unfortunately, I think the Phoenix Suns lose to the Bucks. You get a rematch, and it's the same result. The Milwaukee Bucks end up winning the NBA title again, and Phoenix fans have to wait again. Ah, so I feel terrible for Phoenix fans, but that's the way I see it at the moment. Obviously, everything is subject to change. The Phoenix Suns just might come out and say this is our year. They might win 65 games, win home court advantage, kind of like they did a couple of years ago and lost to the Bucks. But digressing back where we need to be, literally finish the job. They finished the job this time, and they beat a really good Milwaukee Bucks team. But I think right now the Milwaukee Bucks are and should be the favorites to win the NBA title this year. So there it is. I'm actually picking the Bucks to win an NBA championship. I think it's the first time I've ever done that on the show. I believe I've had them in the finals again, but losing to the Suns or losing in the conference finals to the Celtics. But this year, I think the Bucks actually break through and win the entire enchilada, their second in 4 years. And congratulations to Milwaukee Bucks in advance if they actually are able to pull it off. But I do think it's a rematch of the 2021 NBA Finals. Milwaukee Bucks defeat the Phoenix Suns in probably six again at the end of the day, which could potentially mean it would be in Phoenix, depending on who has more wins. But I think the Bucks probably will have more wins at the end of the day. I think they'll have the best record in the NBA and win it all. That's kind of how I see it. The Celtics, I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, beautiful lineup, beautiful roster, awesome players at the top, awesome players all the way down to the bottom, decent coaching, this and that. I mean, obviously it's a franchise with such wonderful history. We all know that. But they've been chokers despite their immense talent, and that's extremely frustrating. They had one unexpected playoff run in 2020, which was a lot of fun, but then they got slaughtered. And that was against the Miami Heat, if I remember correctly, who lost to the Lakers in 2020. Whereas now, they're as hungry as ever. They got all the way to the finals a few years back and ended up blowing it, unfortunately. So, unfortunately, to the stupid Warriors in 22. So, we'll see. Maybe the Celtics are the team. But I think it could be the two most likely teams to win the title are the Bucks, the Celtics, then the Suns, and then fourth is the Denver Nuggets repeating for an NBA championship. With that said, we'll take a quick break and return for fan interaction. Thank you. And we are back here on Timberwolves Explosion Fan Interaction segment. Unfortunately, I think it's pretty small, but might as well just hop to it and hope for the best going forward. At T-Wolves EX, at T-Wolves EX. Tanae Brown coming in out of New Zealand. Always appreciate you. You are awesome. You really are. He says, quietly optimistic about the season. I think we could be as high as a, there you go, top four seed if we stay healthy. I agree. Hoping McDaniels can make the leap and be the third option on the team. Nuggets repeat seems most likely to me. Deep team with great top talent. I think it's possible, yeah. I think it's possible Denver can win the title. I'm definitely on the Bucks, but I'm, you know, there's a very good chance I'm going to be wrong. I mean, how many times have I been wrong? Almost every year. So picking the Celtics in 2008, yeah, that was, you know, before I did podcasting, if I remember correctly. Actually, I started halfway through the year, but it was Paladino Live. There I go, making it about me, though, which is dumb. I apologize. You might be right. They are the team to beat one way or another, no matter how you look at it. They are the team to beat. They have the best player on the planet in Nikola Jokic, and, of course, Jamal Murray has taken that step. He's taken that step to becoming a phenomenal shooting guard, and the Wolves sure could have used him years ago, couldn't we? Ooh, we sure could use his help. But, oh well, at least we got a phenomenal shooting guard as well. We just don't have Jokic, but maybe Rudy and Carl can help provide some of that Jokic-esque talent together. I don't know. Somehow, some way, by the grace of God. Please do follow at T-Wolves EX, at T-Wolves EX. It will be in the show description. Again, wish this would load. Yeah, I got signed into a different account. I'm on the video game flashback. Yeah, I mean, since I'm here, since I have it going at the second, video game flashback, do check that out. I review retro video games. So if you like retro video games like Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis type, you know, check it out. It's a lot of fun. Sega Master System, blah, blah, blah. Spotify, you know, it's always nice. You know, we really appreciate those of you that listen on Spotify, but it's certainly not required. Since I'm messing around here, might as well look at the demographics a bit. United States, 60%. Australia, 11%. United Kingdom, 11%. So, hello, England. Nice to hear from you. India, hello, India. And a bunch of different parts of this country, apparently. Very interesting. So, hello, India. Thank you so much for listening. Whether you're like American soldiers or whatever the heck might be traveling around the world, or actual people from India. I mean, it could be quite possible. Germany, Canada, New Zealand, yep, Auckland and Canterbury. Thank you guys so much. You know, obviously New Zealand, you got Tanae and Levi Brown. Oh, unbelievable people. Vinrock Vince Germano coming in out of Australia. Reese Pedretti, of course. Wayne Hunt. Yep, so Victoria is definitely the emperor when it comes to the Victoria is definitely the strong leader. So hello, Victoria, Australia. Yeah, love you guys so much. I mean, New South Wales, Queensland, Western Australia, Tasmania, the Tasmanian devil, right? Just kidding. Apple Podcasts, number one. Amazon Alexa, interesting. And iHeartRadio coming in third with the different apps. Spotify's way down there, 4%. That's funny. And I don't believe this, that it's all male. And if it is, that's fine. Obviously, the age is incorrect. There's people older than 44 listening, and there's people younger than 35. So some of this stuff is nonsense. I think it's just, okay, Spotify only. So only guys like Spotify, I guess? I don't know. Okay, so it's Spotify only when it comes to the gender, age, and blah, blah, blah. Not that gender and age matter that much. I mean, if you listen to the show, God bless you. You could be 10, you could be 100, you know. But just want to thank all of you for listening and acknowledge you. Nobody from outside of Earth is listening, at least according to this. But I'm just teasing. But yeah, it's funny how they show that because, oh, someday we're going to have people living on Mars and stuff. I'm sure we are. We'll cross the bridge when we get there, I guess. South Korea a little bit. Awesome. Interesting. Very cool. Hope to... Yep, you know, say hello sometime. Facebook, Twitter, something. Say hello sometime. We'd really appreciate that. Since moving to Spotify for podcasters, Draft and Free Agency is the most listened to show so far since moving last year. I think it was in March, if I remember correctly. No, yeah. Well, like early April, March-ish. Yeah, the end of March was my the end of a short tenure with the Basketball Podcasting Network. Not because there was any type of fight or anything. They just ceased operations with that and wanted to focus on the Hockey Podcast Network, which is where Brave the Wild is now. So, and has been since November last year. So, it's just how it is. You know, they wanted to focus on the Hockey Podcast Network, and that's fine. The only network that this is on right now is the Paladino Live Network, which is me. So that's what I call it. A way you could really help the show is, you know, see, I didn't realize just how much it helps. But 5-star ratings on Apple Podcasts and other apps out there can help bring the show up with the whole algorithm thing. It's like it really does make a difference and it's really necessary. So if you're out there listening and you haven't done that, and you do like the show and want to help, please do. It'd be so greatly appreciated. You're also more than welcome to call into the show via audio submission. What you do is you pull out your smart device, open up any voice recorder you might have. It could be Apple, it could be Android, it could be who knows. It could be on your laptop, whatever, your laptop, your desktop. And just basically create an audio file. Like, hey Joey, love the Timberwolves. What the heck is up with Carl Anthony Towns, Kyle Anderson needs to settle down, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, and, you know, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. I doubt anybody's going to do 10, but maybe you have a lot to say. Just kind of throwing that out there. But, your voice can be on this show. Maybe you have some preseason or, you know, season previews, season takes, this and that coming in that you want to say that you didn't get to me in time. Would be greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated to hear from you. Just your name, maybe your town, your country, your state, whatever the heck it is. John from Iowa. I'm just making that up, but, you know, something like that. That's, as long as you just have a general clue where you're coming from. Josh from St. Louis Park. Like, nobody's going to look you up or anything, so don't worry about that. Not going to flood you with emails or anything stupid either, so... It'd be great to hear from you. What you do is, though, when you have the file, you then email it to paladinolive@yahoo.com. paladinolive@yahoo.com. I will then convert it into an MP3 file thanks to, what's it called? A cloud converter. So that's what it's called now. I use that now instead of Zumzar lately. It's very efficient. Would love to hear from you. And, again, you will not be bombarded with emails at all. So... Just want you to know that ahead of time, just in case that might be scaring people away. So that, you know, you have nothing to worry about. With that said, thank you so much for listening. Should be a promising year for the Timberwolves, the best in many years. At least it better be, for doggone sake. With that said, take care, and we'll talk to you soon about regular season basketball. Final thing, obviously, we're not going to get consistent, you know, Friday shows coming out until after the fall cleanup work is done, which obviously hasn't started yet. It's only mid-October, early to mid-October right now. So I'm still just regularly cutting lawns. So the second job is still in full form until around Thanksgiving-ish. Usually like Black Friday is when Timberwolves Explosion starts becoming a regular Friday show again. So that's just something I need to mention before anything else. It's been like that for a while, but just in case you're wondering, like, where's Timberwolves Explosion? You know, how come it's not coming out consistently? That would be why. It's like rainy days, Sundays, Saturdays, this and that, when I would be doing this. So right now it's a rainy day that I'm recording this segment. So, and the first segment. So just so you know, luckily I got ahead, so it's not like I'm behind. I got ahead during the week because I knew the rain was coming. With that said, enough about rain, enough about sad stuff or dirty stuff. Go Timberwolves, have a wonderful season, and we'll talk to you soon.